You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
What our country needs is people who have the heart and soul of liberty.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, Creator and Redeemer of the world, proclaim liberty throughout our land in the good news of your grace, the good gift of your forgiveness, and the good life of faith and love, all of which we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Liberty has played a big role in the 200-year history of the United States of America. At crucial moments, the idea of liberty inspired people on these shores to extraordinary effort. The Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, inscribed with the words from Leviticus 25:10, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof," rang in the Declaration of American Independence. The Statue of Liberty, a gift from France, has welcomed immigrants to these shores. And the Four Freedoms became a kind of platform for the entry of the United States into World War II, as people dreamed of a new world where liberty would be the order of the day, and tyranny would be a thing of the past. Liberty runs in the blood of Americans. A great deal of good red blood has been shed in the pursuit of liberty. The Sons of Liberty shed theirs in the days of the Revolution, as Patrick Henry sounded his call, "Give me liberty or give me death." The Declaration of Independence declared liberty one of those things which people enjoy as an inalienable right, because they have been endowed with that right by their Creator. One of our national hymns calls the United States of America "Sweet Land of Liberty." It goes on to speak about the home of the noble free, where freedom rings from every mountainside. The pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America is to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Benjamin Franklin once said, "Where liberty dwells, there is my country." Is liberty a dream, never to be fulfilled? Is it a slogan to be trotted out at moments when people need to be rallied, only to be forgotten when the peril is over? Or is it just a word? Does that word mean something? In the freedom of this fair land, we are at liberty to give content to the word liberty in accordance with the dictates of our own conscience, or even more important, following the convictions of our own faith. Liberty is a faith word, a faith idea, and a faith product. It has run in the blood of Christian people for a long, long time. It comes straight from the cross of Christ, said St. Paul. And from his cross, it gets real meaning. "For freedom, Christ has set us free," said Paul. "Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Liberty is obviously freedom from something. It is liberation from slavery. It is also freedom for something, or it is no freedom at all. If it is just liberation from one slavery to be engulfed by another, it is not liberty at all. People escaping from one tyranny, only to be enslaved by another, quickly turn to cynicism. They speak about liberty as if it were a dream that can never be realized. Many people look upon liberty today with a good deal of cynicism, as they do about a lot of slogans which have been advanced with great fanfare and very little real content. Liberty without law is meaningless. Lawlessness is a synonym in our language for selfishness, gone wild. In our own day, as in other days, there have been people who have advanced the idea with utter seriousness that the ideal condition of man will be reached when he can do just as he pleases. The slogan of that idea is, if it comes naturally and it feels good, go ahead and do it. The end of that road is not liberty, but chaos. It is slavery to what the Bible calls sin, which is human selfishness gone wild, without regard for God or for anyone else. The Constitution of the United States provides that every citizen is free to own a gun. Whatever may have been the reason for that provision originally, that's the way it is. Is every citizen free to use that gun as he pleases? Some people seem to think so. If they don't like the President of the United States, they take a shot at him. This has happened in the past, and it has happened in our own lifetime. The use of guns with that kind of thinking has become a national scandal. Is that freedom? Liberty to shoot anyone you please? That's chaos. Citizens of the United States have the freedom to own property. Liberty without law produces a situation where one man can just walk into your driveway and drive off with your car. He can say, that's my car now. I'll use it as I please. He can do the same thing with all the clothes in your closet, or your bicycle, your record player, your stereo or TV set. That's not liberty. It's chaos. Lawlessness does not promote liberty. It destroys liberty. Letting people do exactly as they please does not help them. It hurts them. Liberty without law is meaningless. It is not liberty at all, but license to do as you please. In a world of selfishness and sin, that kind of thing produces chaos. And there's no slavery like the slavery of chaos. Recognizing that liberty has its limits, some people would solve every problem by passing a new law. The complexity of law today has become so bewildering as to produce its own kind of chaos. The lawmaking process itself has become a creature of human selfishness. One lawmaker has observed that there are two things you don't want to watch if you want to remain happy. One is the making of sausage, and the other is the making of laws. The product is necessary, of course, and sometimes good, but the process itself is not always a thing of beauty. Liberty is not necessarily the end product of the passage of new laws. What is necessary is the recognition of an old law, which you may not find exactly in this form in any of the laws passed by the Congress of the United States or by the legislatures of any of the states. It is a law of God. Anybody can understand it. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. Children can understand that, even though they may not exactly like it. If you eat only candy, you will get cavities, decay, and eventually false teeth. Young people can understand it. If you go for the ideas of sexual promiscuity, which are being promoted in many places today, you will get exactly what you ask for. It won't be happiness. It will be a pack of trouble. Older people can understand it. Divorce is no solution to the neglect of marital responsibilities. Bankruptcy is no solution to playing fast and loose with your money. Moving to a new neighborhood is no solution to animosity toward your neighbors. Anybody can understand this. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. It's a law of God. Ignoring God won't help. The law is still good. It's still in force. It keeps on taking its toll. That's the way sin works. It earns wages. The wages of sin, said St. Paul with devastating finality, is death. Nobody has removed that law, and nobody has ever been able to avoid that penalty, which is the final evidence that God always has the last word. When it comes right down to it, Genuine liberty demands a recognition of the law of God. Without that, liberty loses its heart and soul. There are certain forms of liberty within the framework of the laws of the land, but those liberties are superficial compared with the liberty of the sons and daughters of God, which is a thing of the heart. What our country needs is people who have the heart and soul of liberty. What we need is a freedom of the spirit, which is freedom not only from something, but also for something. What we need is people not so much interested in getting away with something as getting with something. What we need is a joyful kind of liberty, where people want to do what is right, because they have found the freedom to do what is right. That liberty is not produced by law. It's not produced even by the law of God. It exists within the framework of the law of God, but it is produced by the good news of God, with confidence in God, and with what the Bible calls faith, with love toward God and toward one's fellow men. That is a quite natural expression of faith in God. God sets people free. They are set free not by their idea of God, but by God himself, with all the glorious freedom of which only God himself is capable. In a very real way, in our own history, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be a man in this world of ours. As Malcolm Muggeridge has put it in layman's language, God died in the person of that man. And that man rose from the dead in the person of God. It all happened as a part of our own history. You have to believe it, of course. You have to believe God. You have to trust God that Jesus was really his son. You must have confidence in God that Jesus Christ really did die for the sins of the world, including your own. You have to accept the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and is the Lord of heaven and earth. That takes faith. You can believe it because it's true. St. Paul believed it. He said, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." The man knew what he was talking about. He himself was freed from a real slavery which had been part of his makeup until he came to know Jesus Christ. He was free from that bitter life he had known before, and was now free to serve God and his fellow men with confidence in God that he means what he says. He was freed from the guilt of his sin, free to live as a man was intended to live. "Christ has set us free," said Paul, "and set us free for freedom. Don't be enslaved, therefore, by the old slavery." The cross of Christ is not just a decoration in history. Something happened there. The ugliness of sin was removed, and the beauty of holiness was introduced into human lives, as only Christ can do it. That freedom cost a great deal, the blood of Christ. It is something to be prized, to be honored, to be believed. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Are you hooked on something? Addicted to pride or prejudice or passion? Are you hooked on yourself, addicted to your own desires? Are you given to hatred, envy, lying, stealing, hating your parents, and even hating yourself? Are you the kind of person who holds a grudge and refuses to forgive? That's slavery. It's the slavery from which Christ sets people free. He wants to set you free. He died for those sins of yours. He paid the price for those sins. He took the penalty for those sins. He died for you. In Christ, there's freedom from slavery. Freedom for something. It's freedom to serve God and to love the people around you. It's a new life with a new attitude and new actions that are the product of that attitude. Be free in Christ to love, to show compassion, to be a human being as a human being was meant to be. Freedom can be a pretext for maliciousness. This is not the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. 100 years before the Declaration of Independence, John Milton described the difference between license and freedom. License, he said, they mean when they cry liberty, for who loves liberty must first himself be wise and good. The freedom of the sons of God is freedom to promote domestic tranquility and world peace. It is freedom to help other people have a healthy life. It is freedom to support other people in their struggles against injustice and tyranny. It is freedom to be a member of the family of God and to do the things children of God can be expected to do. It is freedom to have the mind of Christ, who did not hesitate to humble himself and to become obedient even unto death, and that the death on a cross. It is freedom to love God and to enjoy life in the love of God. The freedom of the children of God comes forth with faith in God. It is faith that his Son, Jesus Christ, is the Savior of the world. It is faith to accept the forgiveness of God. Faith to live the life of God. It is faith enough to do what God wants. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's freedom for something great, to be a real human being with the courage to say, "The Lord is my helper. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Liberty, it's a human right to be received as a gift from God and to be exercised with love for God that shows itself in love for one another. That's something to hold high and to defend bravely, that this may be a nation under God with liberty and justice for all. Amen.